Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Comics Experience Make Comics podcast, the show where we talk about the nuts and bolts and big pictures of making comics. I'm Joey Groh. She's Nicole Booz. And today we are talking about setting goals for your comic project, which is a common theme that we talk about a lot on the show, is what are your goals at the end of the day? And those sometimes can be very large goals or very small goals, and sometimes it can be how you get started to, you know, even figure out what your goals are. And going from 0 to 60, I've never made a comic, to I want to have a comic out, there are lots of steps, and it can be intimidating to get just out of the starting blocks, I think. You know, once you figure out how to, you know, get down, I'm going to see if the running metaphor works. Does it work? Where you get down, get ready, and, you know, get the pistol, and then you go, well, you're running. You kind of know how to run. Oh, you kind of know how to write. Kind of know how to draw. You want to do these things. You're kind of starting to get your comic going. But what are your goals getting into it? And, Nicole, you had mentioned this all kind of came about because it seems to be a recurring theme that you see not just in comics, but also, you know, in your everyday life of figuring out how to be goal-oriented and achieve those goals. And a lot of times there can be frustration for not knowing when to start, and you don't really do anything because you're just kind of, you know, paralyzed by trying to analyze what are we trying to do, how are we trying to do it.
Yeah, totally, all of that.
And solved. Thanks for listening.
So, as you said, I think in so many of our podcast recordings, whether it's been, you know, you and me or with you and any of the other co-hosts, or going back to when Andy was doing it, so often I think a lot of the advice that we give, or a lot of the takeaway that we offer, really just boils down to starting with the question of, well, what are your goals? You know, what we would recommend you do next, but really depends on what you want to do ultimately. I remember, like, when I was an editor at Marvel, a lot of the time we would do portfolio reviews when we would go to conventions. And one of the biggest things that we would sort of ask the person with the portfolio sitting across from us too is, where do you want to go with this? Are you looking to improve your art so that you can have a better developed portfolio to show around to editors? Are you showing me your art because you want to know my assessment of whether you're ready to be put on an assignment now? You know, do you want to work more independently? Do you want to be hired by publishers? So much of what we advise when people ask us for advice depends on what the sort of desired end game is. And so as you and I were saying before we started recording, I think so much of the time, you know, that's all well and good to say, let's start where your goals are and then, you know, put a plan in place to help you get to that goal. But I think if you take a step back from that even further, a lot of people, especially if they're just embarking on the beginning of the career, or if they're, you know, they've been doing something else for a long time but are interested in exploring comics either as a, you know, as a sort of creative hobby or because they want to make a career out of it, it can be a really big question just to define what your goals are in the first place. And sometimes you don't even have enough information to even start to get there. So, you know, I think that is our goal today. We want to sort of talk a little bit through, well, if you're in that place where you need a little help or a little push figuring out how to set those goals in the first place, then let's talk about that. Let's figure out some steps that people can take to sort of clarify and define those goals so that they know what to do next.
And that's probably a good point. You know, the way you broke it down with the notes is a very basic, what do you want? Is it something that's general? Can you narrow it down? You know, I want to make comics. With
right.
Getting into specifics, you know, what do you want to do? Well, I want to make comics that get published through some kind of creator-owned deal. You know, that path, very different, well, maybe not very different, from I want to work for DC. I want to get a job penciling for DC. You're likely going to start, am I wrong here, that you're likely going to start doing some indie comics or creator-owned stuff or smaller publisher stuff before you're getting picked up by Marvel or DC?
Well, maybe, yeah. And even from that, if we could just even take a step back for just a second and get to the point about sort of the difference between having a really broad goal that is not super helpful versus a specific goal that is more helpful. If you have a general goal of something like, I want to make comics, or even a general goal like, I want to be working for Marvel or DC one day, even with something like that, those are things that are not necessarily within your control. And I guess part of my thinking on this comes from a comment that I heard Andy make actually on a previous podcast episode with you. And I think that was in response to a question we had received from someone who wanted to know steps that they could take if their goal was to write for Marvel or DC, to write for the big two company. And one of the things that Andy said that has stuck with me ever since I listened to it was, that is a goal that you cannot control. So there, you can do a bunch of different things to sort of put yourself in a position where you are more likely to write for Marvel or DC, sure. But ultimately, whether you're actually writing for them is going to be based on a decision that somebody else is going to have to make. So that's another important part of narrowing down your goals and thinking of the specific rather than the general, because saying I want to make comics, that doesn't really tell me a whole lot about what you want to achieve. It doesn't even tell me whether you want to write, do you want to draw, do you want to, be on staff at a publisher. Those are all really different things. So if you can start with that broad goal and sort of like funnel it down to what really interests you, what are your strengths and weaknesses? And I think most importantly, what do you have control over right now? You might not be able to, afford to go to art school right now, but you can go to the library and take out a bunch of books and start practicing drawing from life. So how do you get started with that? So there are a lot of different directions that this could take, but step one really is thinking about narrowing down your goal as much as possible to something that is actually within your power to achieve at this time. So I think, And I'm not sure if there was something else, some other part of that first step that you wanted to address further. But I did want to spend a little bit of time talking about that, about why it can be beneficial to try to get as specific as possible.
No, I think that's, 100%. The specificity seems to lead to everything else, and it is some amount of sitting down with yourself, figuring out what am I really trying to achieve and what are the steps to do it, which is the next step in your goal setting, is what steps do you need to take to get there?
Right. So, yeah, I think, and this goes back to, and I don't want to dismiss, Joey, what you were saying a minute ago, too. I think you were starting to talk about, a lot of up and coming creators don't get hired directly by a publishing company. They usually, these days at least, will start by creating their own work and self-publishing or going through an indie publisher before they would necessarily start working for one of the bigger publishers. So that's another important thing that you started to talk about, and I don't want to like bypass that. Is that something that you wanted to touch on some more?
Well, I think it ties into kind of the big swirl of how you're trying to get from A to B. So I think it is just one of those ways. I'm sure there are cases where people come up to, an editor and show a portfolio or show writing samples, and that leads to, hey, here's your, Marvel book. Here's 5 pages of, part of this annual. But it seems more likely than not, it's people that have put in time with other publishers and gotten their work out there and, at the very least, have some sort of presence where you can check out their work and go, oh, you did this great, smaller press project, and we think you're ready for, trying out a project with us and moving on. So it seems like it's a lot of incremental steps a lot of the time rather than, we're going to anoint you the next writer of the Avengers.
Right, exactly.
It doesn't usually happen that way, it seems, more and more so. But the steps to get from A to B can sometimes be a little muddied. And I think, for me, I had a huge, the last project that I kickstarted was just me, like, I got to get this done. I take that back. The first project I kickstarted where I failed to meet the goal, it was I was so overzealous about how I wanted to do it and how I thought about doing it that in hindsight, of course it was not going to work because it was a large dollar goal from somebody that wasn't well known, that didn't have a lot of stuff to show. Versus a later project where I was a little bit better known, where I had done some stuff and had more to show, and a goal that made sense in a different way. So it was such a big learning curve for me that I, you know, frankly was like, well, maybe I can bypass this and go and do, and it just didn't click. And I think that what that did allow me to do was to go back and look at the bite-sized chunks to get from A to B rather than, oh, I can just leapfrog ahead. And it was a great, you know, learning experience to go through. But
yeah,
had I listened to this or had this conversation with you, I might not have done it the way that I did at the time to try to get there.
Yeah. And I don't know how long ago that particular project was for you, but I know that, you know, even just a few years ago, there were not as many resources available about how to even embark on trying to crowdfund a project. And I think now there's a lot more advice and a lot more resources. I know something that comes up on the Creators Workshop forums a lot is, you know, people talking about lessons learned from projects that they did or the first, you know, the first time they tried to kickstart something or the first time they tried to do a project on their own and what they learned from that experience and trying to sort of share that experience and knowledge with other people. But I think especially when it comes to Kickstarter, because that's tough. And I think one of the biggest pieces of advice I see people giving each other on the workshop is try to establish your audience before you ask for money, basically. So, So what are the steps you need to take in order to establish that audience? That's another conversation. But, you know, it is something to think about. You know, is there something, are there some sort of intermediary steps that would benefit you to take as you're thinking about what your ultimate goal is? And I think that's one of the important things to consider.
For sure, for sure. Well, with the specifics you also or the steps to take, you also spoke about it earlier with the what's within your power, and I think that's
right.
You know, taking sizing up what you have as resources and what's available to you, and hey, you're not an editor at DC, so you can't make that hiring decision. Okay, what can you do? Well, you can make a comic. How can you make a comic?
Right.
And then
Maybe we should talk a little bit about some of those examples of things that might be within your power versus some things that are not within your power. So I think that one thing that you can't necessarily control is what we already talked about. Having somebody else hire you, that's not something that you can control. But getting your work to a point where that person or you know, somebody in that person's circle might be able to review and consider your work. Sure. You know, that's something different. That means that you're working on developing your own work.
Right.
If that makes sense. So, you know, that's something you can do without obviously having permission from anybody else. It's something that you can always work on. And you know, another thing I think is thinking in terms of wanting to work with specific people. You know, if you have written a script and you're thinking to yourself, well, I would love to have so-and-so draw this script. Well, obviously that person might not be available. That person might not be within your budget, but you know, you can always do something else. Like look at that artist's style or that, that writer's style and sort of look for other potential collaborators who have a similar style and sort of expand your frame of reference a little bit. And then that way you're not just helping your own goals in terms of that particular project. You're also learning about a wider range of potential collaborators and getting to know their work. And that can always benefit you as well.
Yeah, I feel like that is the cliche of it's the journey, you know, not necessarily the destination. Those are the things that are those unexpected highlights and pleasures of doing comics is all the stuff you didn't plan and all the contacts you make and friends you make and the randomness that happens just by being in a certain place at a certain time or interacting with a certain group that might lead you in a different direction. It's so much of just that kind of being open to possibility because you are working towards a goal and just recognizing that, hey, this is what might come my way, this might not, but I'm going to still try my goal, and whatever happens along the way is, you know, sometimes it's gravy, sometimes it's a bit of a downside, which is your number three in your setting your goals for your comics project points is, are you willing to put up with the downsides? Which there can be downsides.
Yeah, exactly. And the biggest downsides that I could really think of as I was thinking about this is really your time and your money. So, you know, creating any kind of project, whether we're talking about like wanting to get a 5-page story published for the first time versus, you know, wanting to be hired by a big two company, it's always going to require some kind of investment of time, especially if, you know, if comics is not your main job and you're looking to pursue this as a creative outlet or a side hustle, you know, whatever your ultimate end goal is. So that's the thing. So like, let's say your goal is you want to write a 5-page comic script and get it published. Obviously you're going to need to commit some time to it. And if you're working, you know, a day job that eats up all of your daytime hours, and then you've got family commitments or other kinds of commitments after your day job is over, then obviously you're going to have to do the work of looking at your schedule and trying to figure out exactly when you're going to put in the time to create your work and then to refine it and then take it to the next step beyond that. So that's always something that I think is helpful, to actually sit down and look at your schedule, because I mean, and I do this myself. I'll think, oh yeah, I would like to get in shape. I would like to exercise, you know, any kind of goal, whether it's personal or creative or professional, there's always that thing of going back to the general versus the specific. And I think that pertains to making a plan as much as it pertains to setting the goal in the first place. So for something like, you know, and we hear people talk about this a lot, like when the new year rolls around and people are talking about resolutions and like the old cliche of, you know, well, by the middle of January, I had dropped all of my resolutions. And I think a lot of the time that just is because you thought about what you wanted to accomplish, but you didn't necessarily think about what you're doing to get there.
Right.
So
is it also for you habit building? You know, right now at this point, what we're talking about is you're not employed by Marvel, DC. You don't have an Image contract. Dark Horse isn't calling you to see if you want to do creator own works. It's so much of a building that habit to me. Talking about exercise, I was off of running for way too long, regular running, after years of 12, 13 years of regularly running every other day. I was off 3 years where I'd run sporadically, and I haven't been telling people about it because it's one of those things where I'm like, if I tell people about it, it might make me stop rather than make me keep doing it. But since July, I've been running every other day again. And
cool.
Well, I say it as somebody who really fell off the wagon and took a long time to get back on the wagon. It's a habit. It's not like, you know, nobody's rewarding me at the end of the day going, great job, Joey, you ran again today. It doesn't matter that it was, you know, it didn't feel good, or, you know, you had a bad run, or, hey, you had a great run. It's that thing where I had to figure out again, like, I got to do this for me because it makes me feel better. I have more energy. I love doing it, but I haven't, you know, why haven't I done it? Well, the last couple of times I did it, it took forever to, you know, ramp the machine back up. And I think so much of comics or any creative pursuit where, you know, you don't have 10,000 Twitter followers, you're not getting, you know, hey, great job. It can be really difficult to keep that train going down the tracks.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that for me, and probably for a lot of other people, it is so much more attainable if you actually look at what your daily schedule looks like and think to yourself, where can I fit this in? Because it's one thing to really want to do it, but if you're not actually looking at, I think as Jim Gibbons has said, like doing the math, looking at the numbers, you know, you're awake for this many hours in a day, you know, from 9 to 5 or, you know, 8 to 7 or whatever it may be in your case, you are committed to doing this. So that's not a variable. And then from this other block of time, you're committed to doing this other thing. Where do you have a variable? So, you know, and again, this is something that we talk about a lot on the workshop. Look at your schedule. Think about, you know, if you're fortunate enough to have any kind of predictability at all in your daily schedule, then you can actually look at, you know, where can you make a sacrifice? Could you go to bed an hour later? Could you get up an hour earlier? Could you write during your lunch break? Like Paul Aller has talked about how he began his writing career by just writing during his lunch break during his day job. And that became his habit. I think, you know, Andy Schmidt talks about how he and his wife both have their own parts of the day that they carve out. And the other one understands that that's the time that the spouse needs to themselves to work on their own projects. So, you know, wherever it is in your day, take a look at it and, you know, make that your habit. So it starts with habit creation, but before you can get to the habit creation, you need to actually think about when you can do it. And I'm sure that pertains to you getting back into running, right? I'm sure that you probably thought about what part of the day you could sacrifice for that, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. At the time of this recording, I tweeted out on Saturday that I managed to get my run in and clean up my email inbox all before 9:30 on Saturday, and I felt like I had nothing else to do the rest of the weekend. Like I felt like I got it all done. Nothing felt better. But it was because of how timing worked out. It was because my wife's schedule allowed her to be home, and you know, it was a Saturday morning. My daughter slept in, and I just was like, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to be back.
See, that's awesome. Well, but let me ask you though, I mean, is that something that happens every Saturday so that you can plan for it? Or was it just like a happy coincidence?
It was a happy coincidence. And the other, the other times are, it's exactly that. It's taking a lunch break and going and running and then eating, you know, the quote, eating at the desk. And I like doing that. I'm very okay with doing that. I'm so thankful that I have the flexibility to do that. But there is something about going like, hey, 11:30, I'm just going to run. You know, whatever else is going on, unless it's, you know, mission critical, I'm going to run.
Yes, exactly. So I think that's another point too, is that, you know, I think a lot of the time you can look at it as, you know, oh, I'm going to write when I have time. But that can backfire because the time doesn't always necessarily present itself as it did, you know, when you had the opportunity to run on that particular Saturday, you know, so that's another thing. I mean, you can wait until those opportunities present themselves, but then the flip side of that is that you don't have a whole lot of control over how long it's going to take you to accomplish what you want if you're just sort of waiting for the opportunities to come to you first. You know what I mean? So that's, I mean, it's a valid way to approach it, but it's sort of different than making the effort to carve out that time and create those habits.
Right. To actually build that. And, you know, I think about the folks that I know or that I see online that there's so many at bats when you're trying to get, you know, work out there. Maybe it's a pitch or, you know, you're up for something. And I don't know what the numbers are. I don't know if there's like a rule of thumb of, you know, for every 6 pitches, one gets accepted and, you know, happens. But, you know, it can be such a hard thing to keep plugging at it. And I think that's so much, you know, to really pound home that point. It is about building that habit where you pitch the comic that you love and nobody's interested, you know, for whatever reason, and maybe the market speaks and nobody wants it, or you can kickstart it, or it's the thing you do, you know, a page a week on, or at the end of a year, how many pages is that? Well, you got 52 pages. Great. You know, you made a 52 page comic. That's great. You started off the year with no pages. So now you've got 52 pages, and that's your Kickstarter. It's already made, and you know that leapfrogs to the next thing. And you know it's that 10,000 hours cliche. You have to put in the time to get there, and so much of that comes from building the habits that at the end of the day, you know, you're not getting a hug or a cookie for building. It's just, you know, for the sake of getting it done, you're going to get it done if that's what you want to do and how you're going to do it.
You might not have a cookie, but you have a page.
You have a page, or maybe your goal is to make cookies, and that sounds delicious.
Another very honorable goal.
It's a hugely honorable goal, which sometimes does not coincide with wanting to run, unfortunately. Or maybe that's why we run, is to be able to have the cookies.
Maybe so.
And the problem solving of story and making comics. I don't know that I've ever had better ideas or ideas that I've thought have been better from running. And then you have to go check it a couple of days later and go, you know what? I think that was just the endorphins. That wasn't a very good idea. No problem solved. Well, with kind of the big swirl of all this, I think you've hit on all the points that you've outlined. Is there anything that we didn't cover that's crucial or something to keep in mind when related to goal setting?
I don't think so. Just another quick example of, you know, potential downside to, you know, to taking those steps to achieve the goal is the financial aspect. And that's another thing that, you know, we're talking about Kickstarter, that's an option. But just as you're thinking about, you know, making a sort of step-by-step plan to get to whatever your goal is, I feel like time and finances are the two potentially biggest obstacles. And so, you know, we talked about ways that you can sort of overcome the time obstacle by creating habits with whatever's at your disposal. And I think, you know, I think similar principle applies to the financial commitment. So if you want to launch your own creator or your own self-published project, for example, let's say if you want to write the script and you want to get it fully produced, then that means that you're going to have to find a way to pay the rest of the creative team. And so that's another thing that, you know, is important to look at as another step to that goal. Is that an insurmountable goal for you, or are there ways around it? And I think there are a lot of ways around it. There's the crowdfunding, which, you know, was not available a few years ago. So that's a huge deal. But, you know, there are also, as we were discussing earlier, there are a lot of steps to successfully crowdfunding something. And that also requires an investment, whether it's an investment of time or effort or money on you know, producing a good Kickstarter video or whatever the case may be. So that's a whole other set of potential commitments that you need to make and that you need to consider and factor in when you're sort of making that step-by-step long-term plan. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. I think that is a nice summation of all the points. Plan, do some math, and then make your comics. If you want to ask a question on the show, you can email info@comicsexperience.com. You can tweet @comicexperience on Twitter, and we will talk about it here on the show. And until next time, go make your comics planned.